Attention, please. Would Logan Air passengers please proceed to the aircraft?
Fly with me. Oh, won't you fly with me? We'll fly off to the island and then watch the setting sun.
Hello, I'm John Ellis, and welcome to Logan Air's Flight Log, where I get to go behind the scenes of the UK's largest regional airline to find answers for your questions and discover exactly what it takes to keep Logan Air in the air, but all that on air. This is episode 6, where we're looking at flight operations. So who better to join us than Stuart Houston, Logan Air's Flight Operations Manager. Hi, Stuart. Welcome to Flight Log. Maybe you could start us off by telling us a bit about your job. What exactly does flight operations involve and encompass?
Hi, John. Well, flight operations, there's two bits to flight ops, really. There's the frontline flight ops that deal with things as they happen, as they occur. And then there's the backroom guys that make that happen. And my team's part of the backroom set. And we do all the detailed planning and all the detailed technical work that we then pass on to the frontline team to allow them to run the operation day by day, minute by minute, second by second, really.
So is this, fill me in on the way that the day works for you. Are you sitting there looking at every single flight and calculating things like fuel and all those types of calculations?
That's right. That's what we do. We do all the weights, all the fuel, all the routings with National Air Traffic Services, anything of that kind of backroom technical nature.
And when you're talking about that, I mean, this is not my world, so I'm assuming you're not sitting there with a pad and a pencil. There must be some sort of like a simulation of a flight, for instance.
Yeah, we've got everything software based. There's very little done with pad and a pencil nowadays, unless all starts to go horribly wrong on the internet. It's all our service providers are cloud based. All the software and all the apps that we use are either on iPads or on PCs. So everything is software based.
So you're planning beforehand, but presumably you're reacting to things as well and giving advice to crews that are in the air, perhaps?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've even had a call from a pilot requesting a performance calculation, and I've asked him where he is and how soon he wants it. And he said, I'm at the runway and I want it now. If things change that quickly, we have to respond that quickly. If there's a heavy shower goes through Southampton, for example, which is a pretty challenging runway for us, then the crew's calculations completely change. And they're quite within the rights to give us a call, and we'll do the calculation for them.
Wow, that's pretty intense. I was going to say there, you mentioned Southampton. It's not like you're always using, you know, Heathrow or Gatwick or something like that. Logan Air is a regional airline. Does that make a difference to how you have to plan things?
Oh, it's a huge difference. We're not like Ryanair or EasyJet. They've only got one type of aeroplane. We've got five types, and within those five types, there's 14 subtypes. So we're dealing with everything from Orkney Inter-Islands, Westray, Papa Westray, taking a minute in visual conditions, to going into Southampton in the fog in instrument conditions. It's a pretty diverse route network, aircraft equipment, pilots, cabin crew. It's thoroughly, thoroughly varied, not like any other airline in the UK at all.
Does the challenge of that make it more exciting for you on a sort of personal level?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We sometimes complain in the office that we've got too many types of aircraft, but it makes the job really, really dynamic. I can be sitting 1 minute thinking about the Islander up in Kirkwall doing Westray, Papa Westray, and then getting a call from an Embraer regional jet pilot asking for a performance calculation because a shower's just gone through Southampton. And then jump back to something else a minute later. I've seen me deal with five different tasks in as many minutes, and all frontline stuff, really demanding.
Having chatted to Fiona McLeod, Director of Charter Services in episode 4, I know Logan Air also operates charter services. Do you have an active role in how they work as well?
Yeah, we do. My team, and I should say I've got a team of three staff working for me, plus one pilot. My team do all the detailed charter planning. Fiona's team will tout for business and sell the business, but we'll make sure that it can actually be done, and we'll make sure that it can actually be done with the equipment that we've got, whether it's a jet or a turboprop. And that can be anything from Women's Institute type charters to rugby teams.
Yeah, now, this brings into sharp focus a point that I was going to mention earlier, but we'll use your rugby teams as an example here. Your average rugby player is, you know, a big kind of guy or, yes, or girl. I was going to mention this earlier when you're talking about all the things you have to take into account for a flight, that the weight of the passengers would vary from one flight to the next. But I guess in that instance, that the difference can be substantial when you're talking about the Women's Institute to Rugby League. It sounds very sciencey and mathsy from me, a thickie. Incredibly difficult and demanding, is it?
It can be. It generally is. My team are all university graduates, and they are generally graduates in aeronautical engineering, so they've got a real enthusiasm for aerospace and aeronautics. They're good at maths, they're good at science, they're good at physics, they're good at computing, and that really helps with the kind of mental agility that's required to jump from one task to another. But believe it or not, we operate in a thing called a standard passenger mass, and statistically, it actually works out. All men weigh 88 kilograms, all women weigh 75 kilograms, all children weigh 35 kilograms, and all infants weigh nothing. But if you get a rugby team, sometimes the average passenger weight will be like 110, 115 kilos.
Yeah, it's fascinating. You know, just from the point of view of my son is now 17 years old, and he's considering what he might want to do if he goes to university. You spoke about all of your team being university graduates and aeronautical students. What would you require if you were going to go and study for something like this, to come out and be one of your team? What sort of things do you require to get into university in the first place? And then what do you need to study and for how long?
It's generally, we would call it a numerate discipline. Anything that involves maths and physics is the kind of prerequisite for the kind of graduate that we look for. It doesn't have to be an aeronautical engineering graduate. One of the team is a software engineer. But anybody who's got a good grasp of maths and physics, that kind of background, it's really not just the background that helps you, it's the mindset as much as anything.
Mm.
And it's the general parlance nowadays, they call it STEM, don't they? Science, technology, engineering, math. Anybody with that kind of background will end up doing the sort of degree that would allow them to do the kind of office job that we've got. Pilots are a little bit different. Quite a lot of pilots have got degrees, but you don't need a degree to be a pilot. But you need to be good at sums, and you need to be good at doing sums quickly.
Yeah, as you've already proven. This will probably sound like a silly question, but I'll ask it anyway because I'm not afraid to ask silly questions. What does a typical working day look like for you, Stuart?
Oh, from beginning to end, I get up at 5:30, 5:45, quick spot of breakfast, check the overnight emails, allocate the tasks to my team via Teams. We communicate via Teams. I then go and swim a mile. I come into the office and the plan instantly falls to bits. It is always the case that the plan for the day instantly falls to bits. And that's where this mental agility is required, jumping from one task, one problem to another and back again. It could be anything from reweighing an aeroplane and making sure that the reweigh is correct, updating all the data for that reweigh, planning a charter, solving a pilot's problem if a big rain shower, as I say, has gone through Southampton, or any kind of pilot problem like that. I also get involved in a lot of what are called flight technical matters, assisting the director of flight operations. I also am the deputy director of flight operations, and I assist the director with the more flight technical aspects of the job. For example, last year I was sent to California to fly a hybrid electric airplane on behalf of the company, because the company is very keen on sustainability in aviation and the future of aviation. Sent to Calgary to fly a twin otter simulator to see if it was useful for our guys, because we have three twin otters, the type of airplane that goes out to Barra to do the beach landing. I just jump around from task to task, as does my team. It's really quite impressive to see how people manage to jump from one task to another.
Yeah, you sound a couple of things there, and I'll come back to the fact that you almost mentioned in passing that you're a qualified pilot. I'll come back to that in a minute. But you said there when you were talking about your day, you know, you have your team's meeting, you have your breakfast, you go for the swim, you go into the office. By that point, the plan for the day has fallen apart. Now, it sounds to me almost like, well, A, there's an expectancy for that to be the case, and B, that you quite enjoy that. That's when it becomes interesting. That's when it becomes the challenge, when you have to think on your feet and sort of tap dance all at once. Does that sound about right, that you actually enjoy that aspect of it?
I think you're absolutely right. I'm coming up for retirement. I've got a couple of years to go to retire. But the older I get, the greedier I get. And I thoroughly enjoy what I do at Logan Air. I like this intellectual challenge. It is an intellectual challenge. I like the problem solving. I like the pace. It's not for everyone. A lot of people coming up to retirement want to slow down. It seems as though the older I get, the more I want to speed up. And all my team are the same. Mm. But they're all young. They're all under 30. And they're all the same. They've got this greed for the job. It's a very strange thing. I haven't met anybody in Logan Air who's not got that passion, that kind of greed for doing the job, that kind of greed for aviation.
Yeah, or love for aviation, for want of a better term. But
It's
a passion, isn't it? I recognise it in other people because I have a passion for what I do myself, but I recognise it in your industry as well. Now, as I said, you mentioned almost in passing that you're a qualified pilot. That must bring a different perspective to your job, does it?
It does. It allows me to do different things within the job that my predecessor in the role didn't do. Things like flying the hybrid electric aeroplane in California or assessing the simulator in Canada. I also assist the training department in Logan Air with pilot recruitment. And when we recruit a new pilot, we put them through their paces in a simulator, and I run the simulator element of the pilot assessment. Because outside of the company, I'm a qualified instructor and examiner. So I can sit in the back of a simulator and put these poor young things through their paces.
you sound like, if you don't mind me saying so, very well trained, very thorough in your job, but also you sound like a bit of an adrenaline junkie, and you're saying you're getting older and heading for retirement, but I'm going to guess that you're the sort of person that throws himself off the side of a mountain or a building or something with a rope attached to them and does some crazy sports on the weekend.
Well, you mentioned climbing mountains and throwing. I like bagging Munros, but I have to tell you, I've got a fear of heights. I can't
really
go up a ladder. Yeah.
So, and that doesn't translate to being in an aircraft?
No, I can turn a light aeroplane upside down, do a bit of aerobatics, do some training, do some examining. I fly a variety of different aeroplanes outside the company, and that's absolutely fine, but I can't go up a ladder.
I'm not that
much of an adrenaline junkie.
No, obviously not. That's a surprising way to end that one, Stuart. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm Joe Mellis, and that was episode 6 of Logan Air's Flight Log, where we take the big issues of being in the air and put them on air. On our next Flight Log, we're talking about something that we're exposed to in almost all aspects of our lives, whether it's standing at a bus stop, checking out the traffic update, watching your favourite TV show, or catching up on Insta. It's something you simply can't escape. We're talking about advertising and branding and what that means for Logan Air. Our guest for that is Sam Talbot, Logan Air's Head of Marketing and Brand. Next time for episode 7 of Logan Air's Flight Log. Find us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you usually listen, right here and on Logan Air's own webpage. Remember, if you enjoyed Flight Log, please rate and recommend us, and please follow us if you have that option. That way, Flight Log will touch down with you whenever we publish a new episode. We'll see you next time for episode 7. Thanks for listening.
So we're homeward bound again.